coming to you live from my apartment. It's Rob Has a Podcast. And now here's the guy who's really hoping that Wendy didn't let his boring chicken out of the oven. I am Rob Cesternino. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Rob Has a Podcast. Here we are. Recap after episode number 4. We're going to talk to Carl Boudreau from Survivor David versus Goliath today on the podcast. Looking forward to catching up with the Godfather, talking about everything that's going on here after the tribe swap of Survivor Edge of Extinction. Of course, we got it all kicked off last night with Stephen Fishback on the Survivor Know-It-Alls, and then we've got a big weekend of podcasts coming up. Brett LaBelle is going to join me on the Survivor Feedback Show. Make sure you get your feedback questions in. You got some time this weekend to record with Brett LaBelle on Saturday afternoon, so get your feedback questions in. You could do that a couple different ways. RobHasAWebsite.com/voicemail to leave us a message, either with your phone or your computer. Or you can call in 323-282-RHAP to leave us a voice message. Or you could always email the show, survivor@robhasawebsite.com. We've also got This Week in Survivor coming up with Mary Kwiatkowski. And of course, we'll play the This Week in Survivor History quiz. And then we'll get into everything on The Wiggle Room coming up with Jessica Lee. So a lot of great stuff coming up, but let me bring in our guest this week to talk about the latest episode of Survivor. You know him from Survivor David versus Goliath. He was actually my winner pick, and he let me down, but we still love this guy. He is the Godfather from the David tribe. Please welcome Carl Boudreau. Carl, how are you?
Yes.
I'm good, man. I'm good, Rob. Glad to be with you.
Yeah, Carl, thank you for coming on to talk about what's going on here on the Edge of Extinction.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, man. What a show so far. You know, I mean, yes. Still has a ways to go to meet up with David and versus Goliath, but you know,
high expectations now for a season after David versus Goliath. You know, it's tough when it's a really good season and then you get a season after and it doesn't always live up to the billing.
Yeah, that's kind of hard, man. I mean, it. I hate it for those guys, you know, but they're doing a great job, man. It's coming off good so far. Like I've said, you know, to other people, I'm just wondering, what is this whole Extinction Island thing going to be about? Like, how are they going to be allowed to come back in the game? How many is going to come back in the game? That's my whole thought process as far as the whole Extinction Island thing.
All right. Well, we can talk about your theories and how that's all going to go as we go along here. Carl, I want to ask you about that. I know you just got back from Australia and you went with an interesting group of people. Can you tell us about what you were doing in Australia?
Yeah, man, I was on vacation, mm-hmm. but I was actually lucky to be joined with the winner of David versus Goliath, my boy Kentucky Nick.
You
know what I'm saying? Yeah. It's one of my guys, man. Even though it didn't seem that way in the very beginning of our show, but mm-hmm. you know, as time progressed, me and Nick became real close. But man, I was honored because I was alone with my wife was, you know, asked to go with him as he wanted to propose to his girlfriend.
Yes.
Which is now his fiance. So.
And congratulations, said, Nick Wilson.
Yeah, absolutely. It was, like I said, man, it was an honor because Nick reached out to me and my wife, and my wife helped Nick a lot. A whole lot. She put in a lot of time and effort to make all the preparations for him so that everything went the way that he wanted it to go. So, you know, much respect to Nick and shout out to my wife for being that lady that able to do it all for.
Yeah, Carl, I didn't know that you guys were in on it. I saw on Facebook that that Nick had gotten engaged to Grizel, right?
Yes, Grizel.
And they had gotten engaged, but I didn't know that you guys were in on making this happen in Australia.
Yeah, man, I was right there. I was actually his personal cameraman. Not sure how well that went. You know what I'm saying? Me being the Carl that I am, I'm not no big social media guy. So I got hit on by a couple of my castmates, being Davey and Gabby, saying, "I hope Carl didn't put his finger over the camera while he was recording. But yeah, man, I was in on it from the very beginning. It was a few others that was you know, in on it, but unfortunately that the time wasn't right for them. But you know, I mean, yeah, things happen, they happen. But I was just glad to be a part of it.
And then was Natalie there with you also in Australia?
No, see, actually, I flew into Los Angeles before catching the flight.
Oh, okay.
So I had a long layover, so Miss Natalie, she came pick me up from the airport along with Nick and Brazil and my wife, and we went back to her house and just hung out for the rest of the day before our flights left going that direction later that night.
Okay. All right. Carl, what's it like for you going back to just watching a season of Survivor from being on it last season?
Man, it's really odd, Rob, you know, because I've always been a fan of Survivor. I'm never going to lie and say I've been a super fan, but I've always made sure that I was home to watch or had it recorded to watch.
Mm-hmm.
And watching it now after playing it, it's funny because you go back and you look at how much people that don't know you critique you and, you know, make these thoughts about you and this, that, and the above, you know? And so I'm sitting back watching now, and it's like I have my thoughts about these people, but I'm thinking about them in a different light because I've been them. You know what I'm saying? So it's really fun, man, but I'm enjoying it, and I can't wait to meet, you know, the people from this cast. But it's really fun going back watching it because now I can critique them instead of being the one that's critiqued.
Yeah. What's the part of it where the person at home doesn't really exactly get what's going on in terms of like when we sort of like jump on a person for making a move that, you know, how much goes into each and every one of these decisions that goes on out there?
I mean, everything plays a part when you're out there on the island stripped of nothing. You know, you think, oh, well, he should have did this or she should have did that. Well, that's easier said than done when you're not there and you haven't eaten in 10, 12, 13 days. You know, the mind stops working the way it does when you're not going through your regular things in life. You know, I mean, that might sound crazy, but it just absolutely doesn't work the same. You know, so for a person that's sitting on the couch to say that, I mean, you have to put yourself in that situation to understand what it takes when you're right there on the spot trying to decide, do I go with this person or do I go with that person? You're talking about strangers. I don't care if it's 18, 19, or 20. It's all strangers. So for me, like, it's tough to put trust in a total stranger, although you have to play in that game, but it's just not as easy said as done when you're sitting on your couch watching.
What about from the other perspective, the perspective of the people that are going through it now? And, you know, there's a lot of players from this season, you know, active on social media. Well, do you have any advice for the people that are going through it this time around in terms of how do you handle, you know, getting all of these notifications and people talking about you both to you directly and then about you on sites like Reddit?
Well, I mean, if you're anything like me, like Carl, then you're not going to have a hard time of going through it. Because for me, I don't care about what somebody think about me that does not know me.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So when somebody says, oh, he sucks or whatever, well, that's your opinion. To me, you suck. I mean, you may be in your parents' basement, but yet you're talking about me and you don't even know me. You know what I mean? So it's like for these new people, man, just don't let these people get under your skin. They don't know you.
Mm-hmm.
They will never know you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, only watching a character that was formed on TV. So don't let it bother you. Don't read into it. Don't even reply to it, because when you reply to it, then you open yourself up. So if I can give you any advice, don't even reply to it. I mean, I know that's hard, but just read it, let it be, and move on.
Okay. Carl, I want to talk to you about Big Wendy and everything that's going on with the chickens. And first, do you have any thoughts on Wendy and the whole saga with the chickens?
Yeah, I was liking Big Wendy in the beginning.
Oh, now you're out?
Well, I'm still in, unfortunately, because she's one of my people on my fantasy thing. But Like when she let the chickens go, I was like, what the hell are you doing? Mm-hmm. Like that's nourishment. You know what I'm saying? In my season, every chicken, they didn't stand a chance with me. And my castmates will tell you. And I'm sorry to whoever it may offend, but they didn't stand a chance with me. They gave us those chickens. The chickens wasn't laying no damn eggs. So see the mirror of the chickens. But now Wendy's gameplay, it may work for her because my thing is, okay, nobody likes her, right? She went through the first process with her original cast. Her original tribe. Okay, they did the swap. Now she's got four other people. None of them people like her. So if you're playing the game correctly, which is my opinion, Wendy is the type of person you're going to bring her all the way to the final three with you because nobody's going to vote for her, period. She's pissed off everybody. So bring her with you to the final three. Do not vote out Wendy. You would be crazy. She's not a threat. She's that third person sitting on the jury. I'm sorry, my sister. I love you to death. But she's Angelina in a different light. She's not going to get any votes. Yeah. Take her with you.
Carl, I agree with everything you're saying up to a point where I have the same exact analysis. Wendy's going to the final three. She's going to get no votes in the end. Maybe if, Reem or Keith are there from the edge of extinction, they'll vote for her. And just like, Angelina, after a certain point last season, people were like, got to keep her around. And I feel like that this is all the more reason she's the biggest threat because she's so unpredictable. She could be a pawn for anybody. I think David feels like that he can control her, but she's such a wild card. She's going to the end and she's blocking one of the spots to get to the end, Carl.
Yeah, but it's only one spot. You know what I mean? As long as it's not your spot, then it doesn't matter who else's spot she's blocking. You know what I'm saying? So if you can bring her with you and you can get some kind of pat with her, hey, look, Wendy, me and you to the end, then ride with it because you don't give a damn. I'm sorry. You don't care about who else's spot she's blocking. Mm-hmm. All you know is that you and her are going to get there. And then all you have to worry about is that one other person when it comes down to final three. You only got to beat one person instead of two.
Yeah, and maybe David has that with her, and David feels like, oh, I can't get rid of her. But nobody else does. Everybody else, I don't know why they didn't come for her at that previous vote where they could have knocked her out of the game. Because I think that, if she's two votes away right now, if she gets to the merge, she's in the final three. And people just, are not worried about her. And it looks like, I don't like to read too much into the previews that we see the players that are on her tribe talking about like, that would be so easy just to vote out Wendy. Yeah, that's what everybody thinks. That's what people are going to think all the way till day 39.
Well, yeah, that's just, again, that goes back to what you discussed earlier as far as the decisions made when you're in the game. The decisions are hard. It's not just as simple as when you're sitting back watching the game, you can make any decision you want. When you're out there on the island, all those decisions are hard decisions. But for me, I can only speak for me. I can't speak for anyone else. It was me seeing the things that Wendy has done so far up to this point. I would do everything in my power to keep Wendy along with me.
Now, with these chickens, it's early in the game. I think they got them. It was like day 7. I think it's only like day 10 or 11 right now as they went to this last tribal council that how hard it is out there. And I remember how you and Nick and Angelina were, sitting out of the competition because you guys had not eaten in so long. That do the survivor contestants at day 10 or 11 have any idea how much they will go on to suffer?
They don't have a clue at this point right now. They got lucky with this season because they got food from the very beginning of their maroon thing. On David versus Goliath, we didn't get anything, so they had food from the very beginning. On top of the fact, like you said, they got these chickens so early on. We didn't get those until after we swapped. And I mean, even with those chickens don't even provide that much meat to where you're just like, oh, okay, let's eat a chicken tonight. We'll be full. We'll be good for 2, 3, 4 days. Mm-hmm. No, it's not that much to one chicken when you're talking about 4, 5, 6 people that has to eat that. You know what I'm saying? So they really need to take in heed of what's going on, because it's not easy. I lasted 30 days and it was not easy. And I had my share of the few chickens that I was able to prepare for my tribe, what have you. But it's just, it's not the fact of when you have it, even though you're eating, it becomes a mind game. Like when someone wins a reward and you watch them walk off and you know they're going just feast, mm-hmm. you know, it sits in the back of your head and you're like, damn, like they're just over there eating and drinking and having a great time. And I'm sitting here thinking about this little handful of rice that's all I have to eat. You know, the mind is what takes over on top of everything.
Carl, I want to talk about this tribe swap, because it was a really interesting one where we have these three tribes, where we have the Kama tribe, 5 people, then we have the Manu tribe at a new location, and then we have the new Manu tribe, which is 4 people from Kama, and then Big Wendy. But I think that this is a really exciting swap, because a lot of times during the swap, we end up in these situations where it's like, oh, 3-2, 3-2, 3-2. And you get to where, you know, people are thinking about, oh, well, maybe we should throw this challenge, or maybe we should just knock out these other people. But we have these three groups where nobody is super incentivized to potentially throw a challenge here. I think that everybody kind of has to go for it, unless we see the tribe with Big Wendy saying, hey, let's try to throw the challenge and get rid of Big Wendy. But now they're talking about potentially keeping her. How do you feel about these three tribes and the way that this ended up shaking out?
I mean, it's weird how it ended up. Like, who would have ever thought that the tribes would have stayed pretty much exactly the same, mm-hmm. with the exception of Big Wendy going to a different tribe? Like, everyone seems to think that stuff is fixed. And what they don't understand is Jeff always has two baskets in his hand. One basket is for the women. Mm-hmm. One basket is for the men. Like, it's not set up. You just so happen to pick a thing, and whatever color you got is what you got. So first and foremost, to all the fans out there, it's not set up. It's just what you grab. I mean, hell, I grabbed an empty one. So, like, you think they set it up for me to grab an empty one? No, it's not the case. But with that being said, I feel sorry for the Lesu tribe, because they went to the old David beach.
Uh-oh.
Yes, I recognized it as soon as I seen that big tree in the middle. That was the mother tree. Oh, my God. That beach has nothing on it. Nothing. I hated that. But no, man, it's the only person I think that favors from that whole tribe swap is Big Wendy, even though she done the crazy thing in letting the chickens go, which I said that part I did not like. But it's working in her favor, because she's playing that wild card, that crazy person. So that's working in her favor. But she's the only person that I think really benefited from the tribe swap, because she's the only one that got to meet new people. Because if she would have went to any other tribe with people that she was already with, then it would have not worked out in her favor, because they were tired of her. So she would have been the next one voted out had they lost the challenge.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, with her going to the Lesu tribe, it worked in her favor. We seen Rick went home,
yeah.
You know, which is crazy, because I had Rick picked to go home. But that's on a totally different level. But it worked in her favor, man. You know what I'm saying? Now, the only person that I think is not going to fare well, and he's a returnee, is Malcolm, because he went
Joe,
back with us.
Joe,
I mean,
Carl.
I'm sorry. Malcolm, Joe, I'm sorry, but everyone gets that wrong, and I just simply sit here and yeah. got that wrong. Because they look so much alike, man. I mean, you know, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Sorry. Malcolm had tweeted, I think, the day that the cast came out, like, hey, just so you know, like, to all the people that are tweeting at me, I am not back on Survivor this season.
What's funny, Rob, is I seen that tweet, and I like that tweet. But they look so much alike, man. Like, God bless you, Sierra. But yeah, man, Joe is he's in a bad spot, man, because he went back to the same people that was already against him, you know. So God forbid if they ever lose a challenge, because he's going home.
Yeah. What did you think about that move where Ron pulled Joe aside and then had Julia go through his bag while he was distracting Joe?
It was smart on Ron's part. Ron's playing a smart game. Mm-hmm. It was smart. Now, it can come back to bite Julia, which I hope it don't. I hope they never find out because I'm rooting for Julia. But it was smart on Ron's part. But, you know, it kind of reminded me, if I can go back to my season, it kind of reminded me of Mike and Jeremy. It was pretty much the same thing in a sense. You know what I mean? Whereas Jeremy went through Dan's bag and Mike was somewhat watching out. You know what I'm saying? So you got when you're on the island, man, you got to do whatever you got to do. You know, idols is precious. So if you can find out that someone has one, then, hey, do what you got to do to find out. That was his fault for leaving his bag and storing it in his bag. Come on. This is his third time playing. He has to know better than that. But.
Well, in fairness to Joe, so they're going to the tribe swap so that they've got all their stuff together. So this was like the perfect time to do it. So if Joe did have something, he'd probably go end up like hiding in and putting in a good hiding spot. But you got to take that stuff with you when you go if you think it's going to be the swap.
Well, yeah, true enough. Which, I mean, it didn't come back to, well, it kind of came back to hurt him because now they know he don't have it.
He doesn't have it.
You know what I mean? But it's just, I don't know, it's one of those things. Every time we moved, as far as doing something that regarded us leaving the island, whatever, I brought all my things with me. That's just, I mean, it was just how I felt about it. Like, I was never too confident about anything. I just, it's just that part of the game, you know, you've got to be on top of that because people are sneaky. They're playing to win.
Yeah. Carl, what'd you do with your idol nullifier?
Man, what's funny is I was the only person besides Elizabeth that had boots, which when I got the nullifier, she wasn't there much longer because I hadn't gotten her voted out. But I put the nullifier in my boots and left them there the whole time because I never messed with my boots. And it was like, nobody's going to mess with my boots. You know what I'm saying? Now, every now and again, I would go and make sure that they were. I had them literally, Rob, I had them dug in the sand right next to the flag, like literally. So it was like if you moved them, I could tell that you moved it. You know what I'm saying? That's how nice I had them implanted in the sand right next to the flag to where it was like, OK, if they go in there, I'm going to know. And hell, they're not going to know what it is because I didn't have the note in the same place with the nullifier.
Yeah. What did it look like? Did it have any sort of markings on it? It was sort of like a coaster type thing, right?
Yeah. It was like round, like a coaster. And then it had this arrow like on it and it was engraved in a sense, you know, it was big and bulky. So it was not like I couldn't pull a Dan and put it in my britches the whole time because it was way too bulky. You know what I mean? The girls would have been like, wait a minute, what? Why didn't start off without, no. Yeah, it was just too big, man. So I just left it in my boots the whole time. But now, every time we went to tribal, of course, I would go off and I'd put my boots on because I wore my boots in the tribal, you know what I mean? And at that point, I would never tuck my shirt in, so I had it in my pocket and my shirt was long, so it covered it up.
But, okay.
Yeah.
I want to talk to you about tribes throwing these challenges after the swap, because back in your season, when you guys were at Vuku, that I was saying that I thought it would have been a good move for the Davids once you came back into the game after you came back from exile. After Alec voted out Natalia, then there was only Alec and Kara, and that was the one place where the Davids then had an advantage, and that maybe you guys should throw some challenges. But as we saw, it seemed like that there was some friction going on there between you and Elizabeth. Did you consider throwing a challenge to vote out either Alec or Kara before you guys got to the merge in your season?
You know, it was a thought, and I have to give the props to that to Elizabeth, because Elizabeth did come to me and Davey about throwing the challenge. Now, mind you, I wasn't I wasn't a big fan of it because me and Elizabeth had been clashing. So it was like, I don't know. I mean, it makes sense, but for my game, it didn't make sense because me and Elizabeth was clashing, and I knew that me and Elizabeth was never really ever going to work with one another. Mm-hmm. So, but I can honestly say that Elizabeth came to me and Davey about throwing the challenge and voting out Alec, although it never happened because I wasn't on board with it. Now, I can't speak for Davey. I would like to say that he was not on board with it because he never came to me, because me and Davey was close. He never came to me and said, well, Carl, maybe we should. You know what I mean? So I like to think that he was not on board with it as well. I could be wrong, but like I say, he never came to me and said, maybe we need to think about it.
Do you think we'll see one of these tribes throw a challenge before the swap this season?
I'm actually thinking we might see one of these tribes throw a challenge before the swap. I honestly think that the tribe with Julia and Joe and Ron, mm-hmm. think they might be willing to
throw the challenge to get rid of Joe.
To get rid of Joe. I think they might be willing to.
Yeah, I mean, once you get to the merge, that's sort of like the ticking clock for Joe. And, you know, things are going great where, you know, the pre-merge, you know, he's going to win these challenges and he's going to help you. But now there's like an expiration date on that.
Right, because once you get to the merge, then it's everybody for themselves. I mean, it becomes individual. And as of right now, Joe has really just been on cruise control. He hasn't really turned it up in the challenges other than the previous show yesterday where he, you know, allowed himself to use his body to become the human ladder. But up until that point, Joe just pretty much been on cruise control. But we all know that Joey Amazing, he can turn it on. And when you get into individual immunities, he's going to win a few of them. Mm-hmm. You know? So it may be smart for them to blow a challenge and get rid of him when they can.
Carl, now you guys played on a season that was all new players, but you know, easily, you know, you could have been instead of on season 37 on season 38 out there with these returning players. How would you have approached working with these new players?
First off, I'm blessed that I was on DVG. I wouldn't trade it for nothing in the world. I'm glad to have met the people that I met. That's my family forever. You know what I mean? And I would not have wanted to be on this season with the returnees because I hope to be a returning player one day. Let's mm-hmm. not get it twisted. I hope CBS gives me a call. I'll go back and play in a heartbeat. But I would not want to be on this season with the returning players because if I was a newbie with returning players, like they've had every opportunity to get rid of Wentworth, I would have taken that opportunity. If I was in War Dog's position, in Rick Devin's position, I would have gotten rid of him. I would have gotten rid of any returning player from the very beginning because they played the game for one and they know how to play the game. So it's like you learn after you played your first time. You never go back into the game a second chance playing the same way you did your first time. You know what I mean? So if I would have been there, yes, the newbies would have, I mean, the returnees would have been my targets from the very beginning. Let's get them out of here as very first chance we get and not give them no legs to stand on. Because once they get their legs, if they make it to the merge, then you might as well consider it over because one of them is going to, in my opinion, one of them is going to push all the way to make it to final three.
But right now, none of the returnees have gone home. Do you feel like that we're getting to the point where they could get to the merge and maybe all end up working together?
I don't know if they'll work together. The ones that I can see working together. Well, I guess the only one that I've been liking so far out of the returning players has to be David. Mm-hmm. Because David is the only returning player that's trying to work with the new people to put the target on which is Kelly, which is on her back. You know what I mean? Because David realizes that these newbies have to want to get us out. So if I work with them to get Kelly, then they'll possibly see I'm working with them. So I'm not the threat that they think I am. versus Joe, he's by himself. And I never really seen Joe and Aubrey working together. I mean, I'm not too sure about the Joe and Aubrey thing. I mean, I would, if anybody turned, I would see Aubrey turn on Joe before Joe turned on Aubrey. Because mm-hmm. that's just the way her gameplay is.
Right. I don't think Joe can afford to turn on any of his allies. Anybody that wants to work with Joe, he's got to stick with them all the way to the end.
Him and Wentworth have the biggest targets on their backs out of all the returning players.
Yeah.
They have the, why? Because, and this is just my opinion, so I hope I don't piss nobody off, whatever. But in my opinion, from them playing in the previous seasons they played, I've liked Wentworth and Joe's game the best. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Now, David's done an excellent job, but I, just my opinion, if I was a newbie and I would have to say that I never played before and I could play like any four, any one of these four, then I would play like Wentworth or Joe.
Let me talk about Rick last night being the person who got voted out. You said you felt like that there was a chance he was going to go. What made you feel like that Rick was potentially going to be on the hot seat last night?
Well, I honestly felt that Rick was very, very close with David, which was good in the beginning, but I remember when when Rick and David walked off and David promised Rick that you could take me all the way and vote me out at Final Four. Mm-hmm. And Rick was like, okay, let's shake on it. And it's like, I'm sitting here thinking like, Final Four, that's fire making. You can't vote nobody off at that point. But Rick was like, all like, yay. Yeah, you deal. Know what I mean? Like, yeah. Like at that point I was like, oh hell, David got him blindfolded. Like he doesn't have a clue. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But it's just, and I stated to, you know, others that I wanted to see how the swap played out. And I just figured if Rick swapped with David, it would be good because he had David, but he couldn't count on anyone else. David was the only person from their original tribe that he had, because War Dog has been running everything from that initial tribe. Period.
Okay.
My hat off to him.
Let's talk about War Dog, because he had a decision to make last night that he was the swing vote and he had to decide between Lauren and Devin's. Did he make the right call?
I think he did.
Mm-hmm.
I honestly think he did by sending Devin's home, because like Lauren said, Devin's was the one that if he made merge, then he would possibly swap after that. You know what I mean?
Why did people think that about Devin's?
Well,
because he's so friendly. Just,
yeah, there you go.
Too friendly.
Too friendly. The friendly aspect is scary. It's very scary. That was kind of my reason for when I went after Elizabeth after the merge. It did not have as much as the TV and the edit showed as far as me just not liking Elizabeth. It had a lot to do with Elizabeth was talking to everyone. You know what I mean? And they were digging her. You've seen when I was on Exile, Elizabeth and Kara had been like just that quick. Elizabeth bonded with Kara. You've seen how Natalia was scared. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Because she had that friendly aspect about her. And that's the same thing with Devin's, man. He was just, he's a newscaster, so he knows how to talk, you know? So it was just that friendly aspect about him that it would have worried me as well. So that move from War Dog, I like. Now, the whole Chris move, I wasn't a big fan of the Chris move, but the Devin's move, I was okay with that.
Okay, we'll talk that through. So you felt like that Chris comes to War Dog, says, hey, let's vote out Kelly. War Dog doesn't want to do that, turns it around, vote out Chris.
But why wouldn't you want to vote out Kelly? She's a returning player. She's tough. Mm-hmm. I mean, she knows how to play the game. Chris is a newbie. I mean, he's going to be anxious to work with you. You know what I mean? On top of the fact that you don't know a swap is coming, and he's probably your strongest man, even more stronger than you, War Dog. You know what I mean? Uh-oh. And I like War Dog, but he's probably more stronger than you. So why would you send your strongest man out that quick?
Mm-hmm.
But that's just, you know, that's just my thoughts. I mean, DBG, I mean, we had monsters on the Goliath tribe compared to us on the David tribe. So it's like, why would we even think about sending out our strongest people? Like, we don't stand a chance as it is. We get rid of our strongest, and we really don't stand a chance. So that's how I looked at it. You know, mm-hmm. I could be totally wrong, but that's how I looked at it. You had no reason to get rid of Chris. It should have been Wentworth in that spot, but I mean, it wasn't. So hey. It is what it is.
But Carl, weren't you one of the Davids talking about getting rid of Nick Wilson early on?
That was that would have been the very, very first vote. And that was because this was before we done anything, Rob. Mm-hmm. This was before we done nothing. The minute you dropped on that island, everyone should be balls to the walls, working, trying to get us a shelter built, trying to find some dry wood, whatever. We're talking day one. You know what I mean? Nick Wilson, we laugh and joke about it all the time. Nick had on his little suit with his satchel. You know what I mean? And he's just walking around. It's like, I'm looking at Fort Jess trying to drag a 30-foot bamboo log, and he's walking around. You know? So for me, coming from a person that's always been a hardworking person, it's like, this cat got to go.
Now look, you go out to Australia. You're helping him get engaged.
Yeah, he's my guy. I mean, but I told him that in the game. He turned it around. You know, I want to say before Jess was even voted out was when we had that they all had their heart to heart talks. You know what I mean? And
right.
Nick finally opened up and, you know, let everybody know what was going on in his head and all of that. And, you know, I gave him much respect for it, you know, and then he finally stepped up, you know, so my thoughts changed on him. But from day one through three, oh, yeah. And I tell him all the time, he was lazy as hell.
Yeah.
But he tells me, man, I was out looking for an idol. Well, OK, that's fine and dandy. I didn't know that at the point. I knew that it was constantly raining and we needed a damn shelter, you know.
Yeah. Carl, how much did that screw you up when Pat got medevaced?
Oh, man, that kind of hurt it, man. But, you know, I hate going back to that, man, because a lot of people don't know. If they don't know at this point, then they just haven't paid attention. But, you know, when Pat got medevaced, man, that was initially started off of me. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? Like when that boat did whatever it did, I got knocked out unconscious.
Yeah. You know? So, I remember them helping you off the boat.
Right, right. I was knocked out unconscious, you know, and when I was coming down the dock with whomever they was, a doctor or whomever carrying me down the dock, you know, and I get to the beach and I see Pat on this stretcher, you know what I mean? I'm like, what the hell? You know what I mean? It's like, that whole thing was just crazy, like totally crazy. But I hated the fact that Pat got put out the way he did, you know, because Pat was one of my allies from the very beginning. I mean, you're talking about the two oldest guys, the two hardest working guys as far as getting us a shelter together and everything else. You know, me and Pat mm-hmm. was ready to work with one another. You know, even though if you go back, you see me and Davey, you know, walking, laughing, saying we got to get rid of him. He's aggravating everybody. You know, that was just what that was. But, like, I wouldn't have turned on Pat that early in the game, you know, so Seeing him go early in the game, it kind of made my game change a whole lot, and I had to, you know, make some different moves and try to find some different allies once Pat got knocked out of the game.
How different is the whole season if Pat sticks around?
Oh, totally different, totally different. Because again, me and Pat was together, me and Pat and Jess was together, me, Pat, Jess, and B was together. You know, I would say me and Davey was real close. Like, that's my little brother. Like, that mm-hmm. goes without said. So that's five of us right there. You know what I mean? So it's just it would be totally different if Pat evacuation wouldn't have taken place.
Carl, were you happy when you heard that Davey got the Sia money from David versus Goliath, or were you upset that Sia wasn't a fan of The Godfather, apparently?
No. Without a shadow of a doubt, I was absolutely stoked for Davey, man. He deserved it, man. This dude, he had to drop everything in 2 days to come out there. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And the game he played, it was awesome. He had my back. I had his back, you know? And one thing I can say about Davey is Davey stayed loyal with me the whole time. So I was glad when I found out that he got the seal money, because on top of the fact of meeting his mom, you know what I'm saying, Ms. Hazel, such a sweetheart, you know what I mean? I know how much faith that, you know, she's instilled in Davey and that he still has to this day. So, like, that wasn't a joke. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That wasn't just made for TV. That's who he is. Although, and I'm going to say it to him on here, Davey, you're kooky as hell, but I love you to death. He's 100% faithful. You know what I mean? Yeah. He believes in the man. He knows what that's all about. So it's not a game with him. You know what I mean? So, yeah, I'm proud that I wish he wouldn't have given it to no one else other than him if it wouldn't have been me. But yes, I'm stoked that Davey got the seal money.
Carl, I want to get into Extinction Island a little bit here so far. Now, you went to Exile Island on your season. You were the only one there. Could you relate at all to the experience that Reem had on Extinction Island all by herself?
I don't know if I can relate it, because Reem seems to be coming off as bitter.
Mm-hmm. You know? But you didn't get voted out. You just got like, okay, go, you know, go like it's being like a monopoly, like go to jail for this round and then you get to come out.
You're right. So maybe that's even more of why I can't relate it. You know what I mean? I knew I was only there for until it was time for me to come back in the game. But for me, I just used it as a place of getting my head back in the game, because I was starting to lose it. I can't sit here and lie to nobody. You know what I mean? My top allies from the very beginning was all gone. I lost B, I lost Pat, I lost Jets. You know, that was three of my top allies. So when I went to Exile, it was like, okay, Carl, you came here for Carl. You know what I mean? You came here to do this, to win for you, your wife, and your kids. You know what I mean? And these people are nice and all, but you're here for you.
That's so that nice.
Yeah, exactly. You know what I mean? Like, they win this million, they ain't giving me none. You know what I mean? Just like, period. Like, Nick didn't give me none, you know? But, like, for me, it was a time for me to reflect on me and settle myself back down for when I came back in the game to do what I needed to do to further myself in the game. But for Reem, I mean, I don't know. I know she got voted out, but she's literally coming off like she's bitter about it.
Yeah, well, know? Her and Keith, they're both mad when Chris shows up. You know, how does it feel? You voted out us. I mean, I thought Reem seemed more overprotective about Keith when Chris showed up.
Well, but let's just be honest. Keith has been, in my opinion, Keith has been Reem's downfall since the beginning, because she's been playing mother to him since the beginning. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's like, you have to separate yourself. If you don't separate yourself from that, then you're going to constantly find yourself in a bad spot.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that's just what it is. It's like, you did it inside the game. You're doing it now that you're on Extinction Island. Like get over it. You're voted out. You have a chance. You have a chance in a lifetime to play Survivor twice, basically, is how I look at it, on your first go around.
Yeah.
Because you have a chance to get back in the game. You know what I mean? And it's like, get over all the bitterness. Get your head in the game. Do what you got to do to find you some food, get you some rest, or whatever, for when that opportunity comes for you to get back in the game, if that's what you really went to play the game for.
You know, the thing about Extinction Island that I think is really interesting is you have these people who are voted out of the game and they've all been on the same tribe. So there's like some level of familiarity. So it's not like a new person is showing up like, oh my God, how did you get voted out? Oh, tell me all about yourself. So they're all people that they started on the same tribe so far. And then each one has gotten knocked out. And in the case of, you know, with Chris and now with Devin, Republicans, you know, he was voting against, or both those guys, you know, voted against people who, and even Keith, he was the one that he betrayed Ream originally, and then was the person who told everybody that Ream was talking about voting out Kelly Wentworth. So you have all these people who, one way or another, were responsible for the previous person's downfall, and then they show up here. And I'm sure in these past seasons, this happens outside of the game. And I know we get to see it a little bit with these Ponderosa videos, but I'm sure that in every past season of Survivor, you know, the fourth boot comes out of the game and the third boot is yelling at them, "You idiot, you voted me out. And you got, now you're here too. You got, you thought it was a good idea to vote me out, and you got voted out. You stupid idiot."
Did you do that on purpose, Rob? Because that's exactly what happened to me, man.
Yeah.
I mean, if you think about it, if you go back and look at it, I got voted out, and then the two people that voted me out followed me.
Yeah.
Like,
So let's play this out. So instead of this conversation happening at Ponderosa, now it's happening on the edge of extinction.
Well, then I can honestly say, if this same situation happened, that happened to me, and we were playing Edge of Extinction, when Gabby and Christian came to Extinction Island, I would be pissed. Like, I mean, honestly, I can be honest. I would be pissed. Like, what were y'all thinking? We could have went to the final five at least, you know?
But, and I have to live with them again then.
Yeah, and guess what? I know how to go out there and swim and catch fish. I know how to kill a chicken and cook it. You know what I mean? I know how to cook rice. Let them know it again, Lyrissa. I know how to cook all of that. You know what I mean? So I can survive.
Yes, yeah,
so you know, but it's like, you voted me out.
So do you think that, because I don't love the idea of the edge of extinction, but I do think that there's a lot of possibilities for how this could play out. So hypothetically, in that scenario, so you have somebody who was responsible for getting you out of the game, and then their plan didn't even work. They get voted out of the game. Now you catch fish. Are you sharing fish with that with those people that voted against you? Or are you just like, no, I got a fish. This is just for my friends. The people that didn't vote me out, they can have some of my food. You guys are on your own.
You know, I have to be honest with you, man. Sitting right here today, looking back at it, well, let me say, sitting here today, I would say the Carl that I am, I would share with them.
Mm-hmm.
But with that being said, looking back at it, if this was all taking place right then and there, I probably wouldn't.
Yeah. I mean, Ponderosa is a different story. Ponderosa is like, all right, well, hey, I'll get my own burger. Okay, fine. I'll get my own cerveza.
Absolutely.
But
absolutely. And Ponderosa is totally different because, you know, everybody can go get what they want. But if we're on this, on another deserted island, and it's only up to us to get food, and I go out there and snorkel and spear a fish or two, and you just voted me out 2-3 days in advance, I don't know. I can be an evil person, so I might sit there and eat that fish in front of me.
Right. Like, it's one thing, Chris, he just got there. Maybe he feels bad. He voted out Reem. He voted out Chris. Okay, all right, I'm going to share my fish with them. But now, if Chris catches a fish next time, and now here comes Devins, who was one of the people that voted out Chris. Maybe Chris is like, you know what, Devins? I'm mad at you. I'm still mad at you. Why did you have to vote me out?
Yeah. See, that's a tough one. Let me think. So Chris helped vote out Reem.
Yes.
And Keith.
Yeah.
Okay. And then Devins turned around and helped vote out Chris.
Yep.
So I can see where he helped. Well, he gave Reem and Keith food. But as far as Devins, no, you voted me out. I didn't help vote you out. So that might be different. Now we might sit around the fire and just have a big old party watching us eat these fish.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because you voted me out. I voted those two out. So therefore, I might be a little sympathetic to them too. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But you voted me out. So now that takes it to a whole nother level.
So I feel like that this could be, you know, some fun elements and definitely some conflict in terms of how this could go. Are you one of these people that do you want to see less of what's going on at Edge of Extinction?
Yeah, don't show me. I tell you what, when the show starts next Wednesday, show me how they all look sitting over there at Edge of Extinction, and then don't show me them anymore, because you're taking away the content from those that are still in the game. I mean, we only get, what, 42, 43 minutes of airtime that actually takes place. So don't show me them over there at Edge of Extinction, because they're out. We don't need to get to them until it's time for them to do whatever challenge or whatever you're going to have them do to get back in the game. I need to know about the people that's still in the game.
Yeah.
Show me some confessionals, because there's a lot of people that still have yet to get confessionals.
Yeah, well, let's talk about that. So that this is something that a lot of the listeners brought up, and I'd love to get your take on it, where, you know, we have a basically like the original Manu tribe. We've seen a lot of them. And then the people that are on the other side, we have hardly seen anything from them except for Joe and for Aubrey. And so we have a lot of these new players who we've barely seen anything from, including I know Julia has been vocal that she hasn't. Hadn't got a confessional coming into last night, and I don't think she got one last night either. So this was something that I talked about with some of the people from your season as well, like Allison, who was somebody who felt like that she was very under-edited. I think that Kara felt like that she was somebody who also had that. So how do these new players handle that?
It's not fair to them. I mean, because everybody should get their share of confessionals. Mm-hmm. Julia has been a big part of that tribe up to this point. She's been a major part. You know what I mean? She helped them win their last reward last week's episode.
Mm-hmm.
This week's episode, her and Ron working together to go through Joe's bags and everything, you know,
yeah.
Like.
Well, the other tribe did get the reward last time. She was doing the slingshot in the reward, but she was Manu and Chris hit those slingshots, and that's how they got the chickens.
You're right. I'm thinking about not the reward,
the immunity.
Yeah, that's what I think.
But the problem is they don't go back to camp after you win the immunity, and then we see the team that lost. So it's sort of like you're a little bit of a victim of your own success when you're these new players and you keep winning.
Yeah, true enough. But I mean, you can find time, you know what I mean, to give these people their fair shot. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Put them on the screen. I mean, everybody signed up for it. You know what I mean? Everybody equal screen time. It'll never be 100% equal.
Yeah.
But like none of us ain't no major movie stars. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So give us our equal share on the screen. We all deserve it. We all signed up for it.
But does it have to be a confessional? Like last night we saw Julia go into Joe's bag and then have the flashback with Ron. What's the difference between being seen doing something and then actually having a confessional?
Yeah, but wouldn't it have been awesome to get a secret confessional with her really telling us, you know, what that was about, how nervous she was, you know, if they might have been coming back or what have you, versus just what we've seen, you know. And I'm not just on the Julia thing. Like, I like Julie as well. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, she's been in the shadows at the same time.
Yeah.
You know, so it's just, I don't know. It's just my opinion. I guess because I didn't like my edit. You know what I mean? Maybe that's why I'm on that rant. You know what I'm saying?
Well, what about your edit was the part that you didn't like?
Oh, the whole drunk with power thing. Like,
yeah.
No, like that was not the case.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, they totally made me out to be the drunk cast member. You know, I guess I'm Brett 2.0 if we go back to Twitter.
He's going to be on the voicemail show this week.
Right, man. We were talking back and forth earlier today. But I wasn't the only one. You know what I'm saying? And that's the only thing I try to defend. You know what I'm saying? Like, not a drunk. So what? I love beer. Who doesn't? I mean, who doesn't? Rob, you drink beer. You know what I mean?
I do like beer.
I mean, you see what I'm saying? Yeah. So, like, put me out there like that and have all these fans thinking that I'm just a drunk. Come on, man. You know, like, that's cool. But that's the only thing I can say that I did not like. I mean, hell, it was my first win. It was my first reward win. Yeah, I got excited. I drank. But don't think for one second that I was the only one out of those four people that was there that was drunk.
Yeah.
Now, you can look at all the footage. Come on, man. Every time somebody went on a reward, they got wasted. You know, but this isn't about me, but that's the whole thing.
Yeah. I do think it ties together because, you know, it's like, you know, things happen and then they have to make a story out of, you know, what they have. And it may not necessarily be exactly what it was, but, you know, and like, I think the players have to remember also, like, you are volunteering to, like, it. Yes, it's your adventure, but ultimately it's going to be somebody else's story that they end up, you know, piecing together with the things that ultimately happen on the island. So they have to, you know, they do have to put out a show every week.
True enough, but why they couldn't play up more to the Godfather side of it then? Because I wasn't quiet the whole time from day one. So why they couldn't play that edit up more? You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That part didn't get played up until the end. Like, I didn't just get that name from the very end. Like, that had to have stemmed from somewheres, which it was from early on. You know what I mean? I was always vocal about what I felt that I wanted done.
Yeah.
So why you take that one and versus the other one? My, you know, but I'm cool with it.
Yeah. I was texting with Steven earlier today and I asked him if he had any questions for you. And that was his question. He wanted to know about being the Godfather. Did you feel like that was a nickname that was something that was earned, or did you feel like that it was something that they used it as a way to ultimately get you out by branding you the Godfather? And that was a way that they got people to turn on you.
You know, I don't know, because I don't know how they think, but I would have to say that obviously they were paying attention to me the whole time, because I was vocal the whole time. Like the whole vocalness from me didn't just come at the end. Like, that was always me from the very beginning. So I would have to say that I was the Godfather from the very beginning. If you want to go back in the very, very beginning, when Elizabeth said, well, let's take out Jess because Jess is working real close with Carl. You see what I'm saying? So from the very beginning, I would say that they seen that I was playing the game. I wasn't just sitting back, just quiet for no reason. I was sitting back, but I was sitting back strategizing the whole time.
Carl, I want to ask you a Godfather question that Corey B., who big Carl fan, that he wanted to know, who is the better Godfather, you or Kelly Wentworth? Listen to this from last night.
Yeah, no,
I'm the ringleader.
Dude, Kelly, she's like the Godfather.
Kelly is like the Godfather. According to
Grammy. I would say me, but I would say, how about this? Let's make me the Godfather and make Kelly Wentworth the godmother.
Godmother. Okay.
There you go. Because Wentworth definitely is the godmother. I mean, this is the third time, man. She's pulled strings from the very beginning, her very first season. So, yeah, I would definitely say Wentworth is the godmother.
Okay. You mentioned Jessica, and she was somebody that we didn't see a lot of on the show, but you guys definitely had a bond. You said that she reminded you of one of your daughters. Have you kept in touch with her after the season? I feel like that she's somebody that we know almost nothing about.
Yeah, no, we've all kept in touch. I mean, everybody from my cast has kept in touch. Yeah, Jess is cool, man. Jess, she'll send me a message or put something on Instagram here and there, you know what I mean? Saying, you know, miss certain people or what have you. Yeah, Jess is always going to have a special place with me, you know what I'm saying? And when I say she reminded me of my daughters, is because, again, I have a 23-year-old and an 18-year-old. just as, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
She's right in the middle. So being out there on the island, you know, stripped of everything, and I could just see it in her face. I could see it in her eyes that she was missing something. You know what I mean? It was a parental figure. You know, I could never take nothing away and try to step in the place of being her parent or nothing of that nature. But my human nature just, you know, made me step in and do whatever I had to do to make sure that she was comforted. That I'd done that, you know what I'm saying? And that was what it was as far as Jeff. You know, I was missing my, my daughters, you know, and her being that age, and, you know, they don't differ from the way that they act, Rob. You know what I'm saying? That age, you do certain things, you know what I'm saying? So, like, it was certain things that Jess would do, and I'm like, God damn it, if that ain't my daughter, you know what I mean? Like, that's how that all took place as for me. But yeah, no, me and Jess, cool, man. Jess will forever, like I say, forever have a place in my heart.
Okay. One of the other new players I wanted to ask you about, that Gavin is somebody that we heard compared a lot to Nick Wilson in the preseason in terms of how he wanted to approach the game. Do you see another Nick Wilson in Gavin?
That's Kentucky Nick 2.0. Period. You heard it here.
Yes.
And I see you ringing the bell, which your bell says ding.
you would prefer you want this one instead.
What is it? There you go. There you go. Yeah, no, man. I like Gavin. I really, really like Gavin. Gavin is Kentucky Nick 2.0. If he can just keep that smooth Southern charm, laid back approach on things, Gavin is, in my opinion, can go a long ways in this game.
Yeah. Well, the best thing for Gavin is that they didn't see your season.
Yes, which that works in his favor, because if he seen what my boy Nick done, then he would have been gone early, because they would have been like, we're not having this all over again. But yeah, if he stays on the level that he's on right now, yeah, I can see Gavin going far.
Carl, I know you're a big Nick fan. Was there any doubt for you in terms of the final three votes? Did you consider potentially going for Angelina or Mike at all?
Never.
Never. Okay. I've seen that. I remember, though, that you had a close relationship with Angelina, though.
Angelina was my girl. She was literally, after the merge, she was one of my closest once we merged. But it was like Angelina just, I don't know. I didn't get the chance to play with her like I really wanted to. You know, now, if I wouldn't have got voted out in the spot that I got voted out, and I would have been able to play a little longer with Angelina, then my answer might have changed. But at the point I got, because at the point when I got voted out, Angelina didn't vote for me. She was with me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, like I say, if I wouldn't have got voted out at that point, then maybe my answer would have changed, because I would have played longer with her. But up until that point, I still felt as though she still had a little bit more to prove to me, to let me know that she was 100% riding with me. Because if you ask anyone from my cast, they'll tell you, like, during tribals, I let them know in a heartbeat, all of this bull crap about you can trust me, you can trust me, you can trust. No, show me by not putting my name on that part that I can trust you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I let them know that constantly. Of course, that type of stuff never made the air, but I constantly let them know. Show me. Don't just tell me. I don't know you. I just met you. Yeah, we've been here for 22 or 23 days, whatever. But don't just tell me I can trust. Trust is not something you just float around. You know what I mean? Like, that's, you got to put in some work for trust, man. I didn't come from no well upbringing uppity neighborhood family, man. I mean, let's just be honest. I mean, I came from from the hood, man. I'm just going to be honest. Yes, don't let the cowboy stuff fool you. I love my horses and ride horses and all of that, but I came from nothing. You know what I mean? So trust is hard to come by. You can't just tell me to trust you. You got to prove it to me.
Yeah. How did you go from coming from the hood to being a cowboy?
Well, it was literally ingrained in my roots. You know what I mean? My parents, along with my grandparents and all that, was born and raised in Louisiana. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? They were all country. You know what I mean? And me, I was like, I have a huge family, Rob. When I say huge, I mean huge. My mom has 8 sisters and 2 brothers. Mm-hmm. You know, so, and they all have kids. And it was like my grandfather was always into that type of stuff. Like with the chickens, like they were all confused on how do we do these chickens? And I'm like, just step back. I got this. Like, because my grandfather raised all that stuff. I was a kid, you know, right by his side, you know, watching him do all those type of things. But it's like, I was born in a small town, which is in Beaumont, Texas. Now I live in Houston, Texas, which is only like 100 miles east of Houston. So you've got the small country town, which is 100 miles from the big city. You know what I mean? So I was born and raised and grew up in the country. I moved to the city to give my kids a better opportunity at things, you know. But so that's where the country comes from. The country was always in me. Like that. What's the old saying? You can take a boy out the country, but you can't take the country out the boy. You know what I mean? And that's me. You know, like I'm gonna put my jeans, my tennis shoes, and go pick it. But bring me back, and I can also go reach in my closet and grab a pair of boots and some starched up jeans and grab my cowboy hat and go on that level as well. So that's kind of how it is for me. You know what I'm saying? The whole country boy thing is not a daily basis thing, but when I need to get there, I can get there.
Yeah. And how did you get into trucking?
That was another thing, man. That was a family thing. My dad was always a truck driver. And me, I'm being the junior of my dad. I'm Carl Jr.
Yeah.
I think
I saw a picture of Carl Sr. on Twitter. You guys were watching the Astros.
Yeah. We're huge Astros fans.
Yeah.
Being right here in, you know, Southeast Texas. Yeah. We're huge Astros fans, but yeah, that's my dad, man. He's been on a roller coaster, man, with his health for probably about the last, man, I'd have to say 5 or 6 years. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And again, we were talking earlier on Twitter. His birthday is Sunday, St. Patrick's Day.
Happy birthday, so Carl Sr.
Yeah, so that's why I was going back and forth with some guy that was saying that Brett LaBelle could probably take me in a drinking contest, whatever. But yeah, man, it's just, you know, it's his birthday on Sunday, so I'll go down to where he's at and hang out and kick it. You know, now he can't drink anymore, but. Mm-hmm. Sit down and drink me a few beers. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, man, it's crazy. Man.
What was your dad's reaction to you going on Survivor?
He loved it, Rob, because he was really, literally the only person in my family that watched Survivor.
Mm-hmm.
Only person. So when I got ready to leave, before I left, it was tough for me because my dad was in the hospital.
Yeah.
Damn near pretty close to, you might as well say, as far as being in a coma. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? So me and my wife, we drive down and I tell him about it and everything. You know, my mom is not, she's not liking it that much because she felt that I shouldn't be leaving. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
With everything that's going on. So I sat in that hospital room with him and I was just talking. Now, he knew who I was, but you couldn't really, you know, you couldn't get that out of him because he wasn't responding. He wasn't saying anything. You know what I mean? He might give you a nod or something of that. You know, so I told him, you know, I said, well, Dad, I've gotten the opportunity to go on Survivor. You know, and like when I said that, you can see the movement in him. You know what I mean? Like he heard me, you know what I mean? But he can't say, like he want to say, what? Are you fucking kidding me? You know what I mean? You know, but excuse me, but... You know, so I told him that and I just sat there and talked with him, man, you know what I'm saying, on a one-on-one, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I just asked him, I said, well, Dad, is it Is it something you think I should do? You know what I'm saying? If it's something you think I should do, squeeze my hand. You know what I mean? If you don't squeeze my hand, then I'm just going to have to tell him I ain't going to be able to do it.
Yeah.
You know? Rob, when I say this dude, and I call him pal. That's what I call him, and that's what he called me. We call each other pal. As crazy as that is. So when I did that, and this dude squeezed my hand so tight, I looked at my wife, and I was like, all right, babe, you ready?
Yeah. You
know? And I knew right then and there he wanted me to go do it. He was so proud of me, even though I didn't come home with a million, whatever, whatever.
Yeah.
But he was so proud of me. It was like, I can't trade that in for nothing, for nothing.
Yeah. Well, that's really amazing. And do you feel like that you going to go be on the show, like, gave him incentive to, you know, do better and get better?
Oh, yeah, man. Most definitely. Absolutely. You know what I mean? I strive to get better every day. You know, we all as individuals, as human beings, we all have our downfalls. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? We all have some things about us that we can work for, you know, and that's just, it's just one of those things, man, watching him, you know, it's like, I know it's a lot of different things I can work on, whether it be my, just me maybe being an ass towards someone or being more loving to my wife or what have you. We all have flaws. We all have things we can work on. So, you know, doing all of this as far as that show goes, man, I just continue to be a work in progress every day.
Yeah.
You know, I was just so excited that I was able to get into L.A. for the season finale.
Oh, that's cool.
Like, that was the coolest, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
See the smile on his face from seeing, you know, meeting my castmates and some of the future players and all of that, you know, yeah, that was real cool.
Okay, Carl, I've got some questions for you from the listeners. But first, let me take a moment and thank our sponsor for this episode of the podcast, our friends over at AIS. They are the auto insurance specialists. And I'm sure Carl could tell you there's a lot of lunatics out there on the road. I'm sure he sees them driving the truck. But auto insurance specialist is going to make sure that you have the lowest price out there on your car insurance. These insurance companies, they try to creep up the rates on you, and you are going to be paying more than you need to. So you can go ahead and give AIS a call or go to their website, use the link AISinsurance.com/Rob. It's the easiest thing you're going to do because you're going to just punch in all of the information about your car. Sometimes you have things that change about your car insurance, like the amount of miles that you drive a year due to a change in a job, and you might be able to save some money on your car insurance in just a couple of minutes. Insurance rates are rising fast, but the big insurance companies are hoping that you won't notice. So take back control. Go to AISinsurance.com/Rob and let AIS use their smart quote technology to save you money on your car insurance. So go ahead and give AIS a try. AISinsurance.com/Rob or call the phone number 800-777-4AIS, AISinsurance.com. Carl, you know there's no better insurance than an idle nullifier.
No better insurance than a nullifier.
Not sure if AIS can help you out with that. All right, let me get into some questions. Okay, Mike Edwards wants to know, who does the Godfather think is out next?
Who do I think is out next? Okay, let's see. Rick just went out. So, I'm just going to go out on a limb and say, I think Aurora is out next.
Aurora? Why? Because she's too closely aligned with Joe?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yep. They lose, then it's I can't say one, I mean two, because you only want one, but it's either going to be, if I can give two, it's either going to be Joe or Aurora.
Aurora. Okay. Ryan Patterson wants to know, do you wish that Probst would have called you Boudreaux? Are you somebody who was up in arms about Rick being Devin's?
Yeah, no, man. I wish he would have used Boudreaux. I mean, come on, man. That's a rare, you know, last name. Like, that's a unique last name. So, yeah, that would have been cool.
Yeah.
I think I would have been remembered more
by
Boudreaux.
Yes. Do you think that Rick asked to be Rick Devins?
I don't know. I always wondered about that because I would think that possibly Wardog asked to be Wardog.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Think so. I think so.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Because, again, with Rick, his name is Rick. His name isn't Devins. His name
mm-hmm. is Rick. I think Jeff even said when he got voted out, the next person voted out, Rick Devins.
Right, he did, because it was spelled on that last piece of parchment. Yeah. They had his own name. So maybe that's why he did it. But, yeah, I mean, you know, some things you're known for. And, you know, coming up, I've always been called, I've been called more by my last name than I've been called Carl, mm-hmm. you know, by my friends coming up or whatever. I was called Boudreaux or Cebu or
Cebu.
Yeah,
I like
yeah.
that.
I didn't really like that one too much.
Okay,
like Cebu, like you know what I mean. But yeah, man, a Bud or just short names for it. But yeah, Boudreaux always used a lot coming up as a youngster.
Yeah. Edward Morris wants to know, first off, I want to know, do you think that we'll see the Idol Nullifier come back this season? And Edward Morris wants to know, who do you want to see get an Idol Nullifier this season? So we saw the Idol Nullifier last season and it made a big impact in the game, but we haven't heard anything about it coming back. Do you think that it will be back in season 38?
I hope it comes back. I doubt it that it will this season. I hope it does, but I doubt it that it does this season. And I will even go out on a limb and say, if it does come back, it will not be played correctly.
Okay. All right. So Cebu calling a shot here that it is going to be, if it comes back, it will not be, because it's hard to, like, that was what you guys pulled off in David versus Goliath. I mean, that was like a, you know, like an amazing thing to be able to execute.
Let me tell you, Rob, I think I told you in my exit press that I did not get the credit I was due as far as playing that Idol Nullifier.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That thing took and a lot of work, a lot of intel. I mean, you had to know everything to a T in order for the Nullifier to work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but like when I say I didn't get the credit I was due for it, I'm the one that put in the intel to know when to be able to play it. You know, I'm the one that went out there and was calling out names, which was Dan's name, uncontrollably to let him know that we were coming after him. You know what I mean? For him to push him mm-hmm. to play this Idol, you know? So, yeah, that's probably one of the hardest advantages that's ever, in my opinion, now,
right.
that's ever been put into the game.
Of yeah, life. Especially in the way that you guys had to pull that off in your season, because, you know, you could have a scenario where it's like, all right, you know, hey, you know, everybody's voting for Kelly Wentworth tonight. But, you know, Kelly Wentworth, she always has an idol. Let's vote for Kelly Wentworth. And then we'll also like play the Idol Nullifier on her. You know, it's very hard to do, you know, when you have like, you know, what, six different potential people that you could put the votes on who does have the idol. Are they going to play it? So, yeah, that is a kind of like shooting the moon to get that thing right.
Yeah, because you got to know that person is going to play the idol, and they have to play the idol that particular night, because if Dan wouldn't have played his idol, the Idol Nullifier wouldn't have never, ever been recognized as far as being in the game.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even when he played it and everything went the way it was supposed to go, like, I didn't have to say anything about it. No one wouldn't have even known that I played it.
But mm-hmm.
just, you know, it just hit me at that point because I did get it right. Like, I did not plan that whole thing when I said bing or none of that. It just all came about at that particular point in time, you know. So it was just all meant to be. But I must say that I put in a lot of work with the help of my alliance. I mean, I must give them some credit because we were working together. The David Five was working together. But I'm the one that put in the work, and again, that's where the Godfather role took on, is because I was vocal about what I wanted to go on, you
mm-hmm.
know, and was was letting people know. I was talking to Kara and I was talking to, you know, Mike and letting them know, hey, it's Dan. We're going to try to get Dan some kind of way, whatever, whatever, you know. So I could have not done any of that and Dan could have not played his idol. But by me putting that pressure out there is, in my opinion, what forced Dan to play his idol. And I just so happened to get him with the nullifier.
Carl, Jenny Autumn wants to know, if you were on the season with the four returning players, who would you be the most likely to align with out of these four?
Oh, that's a good one.
And who would you be the most likely to target?
I would say I would be most likely to target Aubrey.
Why?
Well, because I don't know, man. I have yet to be able to meet Aubrey, so I don't know the real Aubrey outside of Survivor. Mm-hmm. First, make that statement. But I think that just from watching her on her seasons, Aubrey, I don't know. She comes off to me like she thinks everyone is just dumb. You know, mm-hmm. like on this season, like you've told every single person on your tribe the same thing, that they all remind you of you. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like everybody cannot possibly remind you of you. You know what I mean? So that's why I would have to go as far as towards Aubrey's, because I don't know. She seems to think that everybody is just flat out dumber than her, but that's just my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
As far as aligning with, see, I would probably, I like all three of the others, man.
Can I go back to the Aubrey thing? Cause I just want to get your take on now. Does that come off of your experience in David versus Goliath, where you were working with people like Christian and Gabby, who are probably more out of that Aubrey mold, and it didn't work out working with them? Or did you feel that way about Christian and Gabby before there was the point where they turned against you, and that's why you feel like the Aubrey is in that same category? It's like is it Wendy's chicken or Lisa's egg?
Well, see, no, I don't know. I don't know if I can go off of that, though, Rob, because off of the David versus Goliath thing with Christian and Gabby was cool with working with me. Like I had no problems with Christian or Gabby. I think Christian and Gabby finally realized that they was on the bottom as far as with me, Nick, and Davey go.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? And I think that Gabby overruled Christian because Gabby felt as if I was the one that was controlling everything, mm-hmm. as far as that situation took place. You know what I'm saying? Christian, it was just a bad move for Christian. He had no reason to do it. You know what I mean? I don't think, like I say, I don't think that me, Christian, Gabby, or whatever had no differences, because we were working well with one another, other than the fact that Gabby felt as if she was at the bottom. So I can understand her move because of her feeling like she's at the bottom, you know? So I can't compare the Aubrey thing to that, because I don't think that Christian and Gabby thinks that they were no smarter than me as far as Survivor goes in that aspect. You know what I mean? Now, were they thinking ahead more than I was? Yeah, I give them that, but everybody plays the game different, you know, as far as that aspect goes.
Okay.
But for as far as it goes with Aubrey, I don't know. It's just from me watching her on her three seasons, just my visual and watching as a fan, she comes off as if they're dumb and she's smart.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the way she comes off to me as a fan. You know what I mean? So that's why I say I wouldn't see myself aligning with her from that aspect. If I was a newbie coming in as a new fan playing the game, then no, I would not be able to align myself.
Who would be your dream Survivor alumni if you were on one of these seasons, if it was your first time? If you got David versus Goliath and then, okay, meet the captain of your team, who would be your, you know, your dream person to show up? Captain of the Davids.
Good Lord, that's tough. Oh, my God. I would have to say Jeremy Collins. Man. Jeremy was like my my Survivor idol.
Yeah. Have you met him?
No, I have yet to meet him. Now, I think we might have messaged maybe a few once. I could be wrong. But I haven't. I can't wait to meet him. You know what I mean? Because he was literally, and hell, I may be older than Jeremy, or we may be around the same age. But
yeah,
as far as Survivor goes, Jeremy was like my Survivor idol. You know what I mean? Because he was about, when he very first played, even the second time, it was all about Vamp. You know what I mean? Like, he was playing for family. You know what I'm saying? And that's how I am. You know, it was like, it's about family. Like, I don't give two shits about me, excuse my language. It's about my family back home. That's who I'm doing this for.
Yeah.
You know, and he kept it. He kept it honest. He kept it loyal. And I loved every bit of that. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, I would have to say Jeremy.
Yeah. Jeremy is a really great guy, except for the fact, big Patriots fan.
Yeah, not that part.
Not to hold that against him. Yeah.
Trust me, I do not like that part about him at all. I cannot stand the Patriots. Oh my God. Can Brady retire already so they can be the Cleveland Browns of the 20s?
No, come on. What's with all this Cleveland Browns shade? Even Kelly Wentworth they just traded for Odell Beckham Jr.
Oh, me and my guys talk about it all the time. I love it. They look great on paper as of right now. On paper. And I hope turn it around.
Is that why Kelly Wentworth says that her tribe is like the Cleveland Browns? Because on paper, they should be a good tribe?
Exactly. They should be. Absolutely. They should. Come on. We're talking about Kelly, Lauren, who's a collegiate athlete, War Dog. You know what I mean? The
War David Dog Pound.
Yeah, War Dog Pound, you know. And Devins. Come on. They should have been. It's no. They're the Cleveland Browns on paper. They're the Survivor Browns on paper.
Who's the Nick Chubb of the Lesu tribe?
The Nick Chubb? That's going to have to be, let's see, who's the Nick Chubb? He's supposed to be a great running back, but he just haven't reached his peak yet. Who's the Nick Chubb of the Lesu tribe?
Might be David Wright if he keeps losing on these puzzles. Yeah.
Absolutely right. Yeah, it has to be David Wright. It has to be David Wright. I'm going to say War Dog has to be Baker Mayfield.
Baker Mayfield, yeah. He likes to talk trash, right?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And he talks in third person. Yes. Baker War Dog Mayfield.
From the War Dog Pound. This is one I got to ask you about, Carl. So I do some research before I do these podcasts, and I went through your Twitter. I saw you talking with your buddy Davey, and you tweeted, so I tweet Davey, is this a freaking joke from MTV? Game of Clones? Really, I was enjoying the challenge, and this is what follows it? Come on, MTV, stop, please. Can you tell people, what is Game of Clones?
That's what I was trying to figure out. Like, what the hell were they thinking? How?
Because I think a lot of the listeners don't know what this is. Can you explain it?
I mean, I love the challenge. I watch the challenge faithfully every Wednesday night after Survivor.
I didn't know this.
Oh, yes. I love the challenge. I've been watching the challenge literally since the beginning. And like when it before the challenge, like when it was Real World and Road Rules and all of that. So I love the challenge. And then one night I'm sitting here and I see this Game of Thrones thing come on. And I'm like, okay, what's this? Let me check it out. Okay. I see Leroy. Not Leroy. I'm drawing a blank. Well, anyways, I see a couple of people from the challenge, So I'm like, okay, well, let me check it out. Let me see what this is. So then all of a sudden, I see it's about a love interest type thing. And I see they take 7 or 8 individual females or males and make them all look exactly the same.
Yeah, from what I understand, I did a deep dive into this. That so they ask you, okay, Godfather, who's your celebrity crush?
Right.
And then they get like 7 or 8 women who are like who look enough like your celebrity crush, and then you have to pick one of them.
Yeah.
But it's just a person in a costume. It's not what they really look like.
this person does not look like this in real life. So basically, you take away the MTV makeup artist, basically. And this person, okay, right now, she looks like, I'm just going to say, and this is not my celebrity crush, but I'm just going to say Beyonce.
Okay.
So we got seven freaking individuals that look like Beyonce right now. So I got to pick one of them that right. looks the best.
It's right? like going to a Halloween party.
Okay, but then 2 weeks later, she looks like freaking Neonce because she's nothing close like to Beyonce. Like, the real person looks nothing like this person. Like, what the hell are you thinking? Come on.
Neonce.
Yeah, like take all the makeup off. And this is MTV. This is not the girl I just chose. Like, what happened? Y'all tricked me.
What happened to Beyonce?
Yeah, y'all tricked me. This isn't her. Like, I knew she couldn't sing, but damn, she don't even look like her at this point anymore. Come on.
Why did you need Davey to help clarify this? Is Davey an expert on Game of Clones?
No, but Davey watches like all of these freaking type of shows, like literally, like I seen on Twitter earlier because somebody said, well, did you reference to Carl about, did you call him Carl or something of that nature? And it had something to do with The Walking Dead, you yes. know, and he was like, well, I did it, but he never understood it. And I was like, yeah, it was over my head because I don't watch that type of stuff.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
But as far as that, man, Davey watches all kinds of stuff, all kinds of stuff.
Yeah. Do you think that we will see Survivor players on the challenge one day, Carl?
Yeah, I think so. I think so. It's coming.
All right. Yeah, it's coming. Are you going to ask Carl Sr. this weekend if you have his blessing to go be the first Survivor contestant on the challenge?
Yeah, no need for me to ask him because I would never do it.
Okay.
It's too much for me, Rob. That's way too much for me, man. First off, that's some youngsters. Second off, they big as hell. Like, a few of them probably.
And how old is their- Mark Long?
I don't know.
Does he still go on that?
He's not on it anymore.
Okay.
I want to say Johnny Bananas might be the oldest one on there.
Yeah, how old is Johnny Bananas?
They're in their mid-30s. Him and CT. But freak, they probably eat steroids, though. You know what I mean? I'm just, I don't eat steroids. I drink beer. Like,
allegedly. Don't get me beat up by Johnny Bananas.
Yeah, you're right. Allegedly. But they look like it. But, I mean, they allegedly eat steroids. I drink beer. Like, that's not a secret.
Should they institute random drug testing on the challenge?
Oh, yeah, most definitely.
Now, they might have to cancel the show.
I think they do drug testing, pregnancy testing, and everything.
Yeah.
It's a lot takes place on that show. But now I can see some Survivor players go on that show. Like, we got some players that've been on Survivor that could go on that.
Yeah. Well, Jay, he's on X on the Beach. He's like got one foot in the door.
Yeah, he's next. Yeah. He already went over to MTV. So yeah, he's next.
Could be. Okay. All right. Carl, what other reality shows are you watching? You're watching The Survivor. You're watching The Challenge. You're watching A Game of Clones.
What's crazy, Rob, is I was a huge Amazing Race fan.
Okay.
I've always loved the Amazing Race.
Yes.
So, yeah, I watched The Amazing Race faithfully. Like, I can't wait for this next season to come out with Brett and Chris. Like, yes. I can't wait to see it, you know? But, yeah, I've always been an Amazing Race fan, man. If I had to choose out of the two, out of Survivor or Amazing Race before I was on Survivor, I would have chosen Amazing Race.
Who would you have gone with?
Back then, it would have been my sister-in-law, my brother's wife, because me and her are both the same. Like, my wife and my brother, they're the same. You know what I mean? But, like, me and my sister-in-law, we're both the same.
I don't think they've ever had a brother-in-law, sister-in-law on The Amazing Race.
Need to pitch that then.
Yes. Okay. Yeah, and they're still married? That's still...
yes. Okay. My brother's wife. Yeah, it's my brother's wife. Married 16 years plus.
I mean, I'm not the Amazing Race expert on staff. We'd have to ask either Jessica Lease or Mike Bloom, but I don't know if we've ever had brother-in-law, sister-in-law on The Amazing Race.
It would definitely have to be my sister-in-law because we're both adventurous. Like I love my wife. Like people ask me all the time, like, if there was a blood versus water, mm-hmm. would you and your wife be willing to play? And I'm like, well, yeah, I would be. And she would be. But I don't know. I question how well she would do because the outdoors is just not her thing.
Yeah.
You know? And it's like she would give it her all, but outdoors is just not her thing. Now, let's say she can camp out in the mall.
Oh, we're winning.
We're winning all day long.
Carl, how did your wife take everything with Survivor? I got a chance to meet her after the finale real quick. Did she enjoy the whole experience?
Yeah, she loved it, Rob, man. She was cool with it all. She loved it. She, matter of fact, not too long got home. She just walked by and waved because she know I'm doing this with you. But mm-hmm. yeah, no, she loved it, man. She was my number one fan, you know what I'm saying? And still is, you know, yeah. my backbone, my support. You know, every house has to have a foundation. And
yeah.
She's definitely my foundation.
How about your girls? Were they following the show at all before you had gone on it? Did they think it was cool?
They followed it a little bit only because I would sit in here and watch, you know, so they would come in here with me every now and again and watch it. But then, like, when they found out I was going on it, they were 100% tuned in. Mm-hmm. Like, they watched Ghost Island from beginning to the end, you know, because they knew that Dad was going on it. And, you know, it's been pretty cool. My youngest daughter, she's a senior in high school.
Yeah.
So like when some of her friends found out, it was like, she was like, oh my God, Dad, just please don't embarrass me. You know what I mean? Come on. We're talking about a high school senior.
Right. You can't do anything that's not embarrassing, Dad.
Exactly. So yeah, no, it was cool. And then she had some teachers that were fans. So I'm like, okay, well, with this whole college scandal thing that just took place.
Oh, yes.
Well, babe, do you think maybe if I sign something for them, they can boost your grades up a little bit? No, I'm joking. No.
You're not learning the lesson from this whole Aunt Becky scandal.
Mine took place before Aunt Becky. You know what I mean? But I didn't know, man. But yeah, she has some teachers, you know what I mean, that was big fans. Yeah. So
Were you a celebrity at the school?
Not too much, Rob, because I don't. You know, I don't move around like that. Like, I still see myself as a regular everyday guy. Mm,
you know? Yeah.
I just.
But people weren't coming up and asking you Survivor questions when you went out.
I've had a few. I've had a few of that happen.
Yeah.
When me and Nick was traveling back from Australia, of course, we stopped in Fiji. And I took a picture. I never sent it to you.
Yes.
It was the airport in Fiji. The, Bula Burger Bistro.
Bula Burger Bistro.
Yeah, exactly.
Was there a tie-in, or they just liked the way that it sounded?
You know, I'm thinking maybe that's where Jeffnam got it from, the Bula Burger. You know what I mean?
I thought Bula was a guy that worked on production.
Yeah, I'm still confused on who Bula is myself, you know. But one day we're going to find out exactly who Bula is.
One day we'll find out.
You know, it was... Because me and Nick had been noticed at the airport in Fiji by a bunch of kids that were American kids.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they seen me and Nick, you know, and it was like you would see them walking up with their parents, and me and Nick would look at each other like, okay, we know what this is.
We got it, yeah.
Like, they noticed us, you know. So, yeah, that was pretty cool, you know what I mean? But, yeah, no, I just try to stay low-key, man. I'm not good with fame.
Carl, I got a version of this from a couple different listeners, but John wants to know, who from this season do you want to have a beer with? I got a couple of beer questions.
Who from this season?
Anybody that you would love to have a cold one with?
I definitely got to have a cold one with War Dog.
With War Dog. What is it about War Dog that you're a big War Dog fan?
It's because he's running things.
Okay.
And on top of the fact
he's that the new Godfather?
Well, no, there's only one. on top of the fact that I messed with him, man, I said, what is it about New York men? Why does it sound like their nose is stopped up when they're talking?
How so? What does it sound like?
Let me see if I can make my nose.
Okay.
So no, I can't do it, Rob, but it's just like, I don't know, man. It's just something about it. Mm-hmm. It just sounds like their nose is stopped up or something. You know what I'm saying? But besides War Dog, to answer that question, besides War Dog, who would I like to have a beer with? It would have to be War Dog and Joe.
War Dog and Joe. Okay. Yeah. Now, people want to know, what's your favorite beer? What's your go-to?
Oh, man. See, that's the thing. I don't really have one particular favorite. Like right now, I'm sitting here drinking a Modelo right now.
Modelo.
Especially out right now. You know what I mean? But I'll drink a Modelo Negro. I'll drink a Dos Equis. I love Mexican beer.
Yeah.
Now, so if I can say a favorite, let's just say I love Mexican beers.
Okay. Yeah. People want to know, do you like a porter or a stout or a Northwestern IPA? You don't get involved with these IPAs, right?
I've tried a few IPAs. They're okay, but I'm not a huge IPA fan. Now, I'm not saying that I won't drink them, because if you buy me a beer, I'm going to drink it. I don't give a damn what kind of beer it is. If you buy me a beer, I'm going to drink it. I'm never going to waste your money. But, that's just rude. You can't waste a person's money, man, when they buy you a beer.
That's right.
I'm more of a Mexican beer drinker.
Okay. Carl, anything else you want to talk about with the season or life or anything? Game of Clones.
Game of Clones, I hate. Life is great. I mean, life can always be better. Let's understand that. Life can always be better, but let's not complain about the way life is as we see it right now, because there's always someone out there that's going through things that's way more worse than what we may be going through.
That's
so
right.
Always count your blessings.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Other than that, Rob, I mean, I'm just enjoying it, man. I hope to one day be invited back to play again. Mm-hmm. I mean, wholeheartedly, you know. I know I wasn't one of the biggest fans. I mean, the biggest cast of DBG, but you know, I just played as myself. I wasn't trying to give them no person that played it up for the cameras. I was just me. So
hey, you played the Idle Nullifier correctly first time out. If that doesn't qualify you as a game changer, I don't know what does.
Yeah. I mean, can't nobody change the game like I did first ever, you know? Like,
yeah.
It can only be the first time, one time. You know? Like, you can't have a second first time. You
know? That's right. Carl, that I would like to give out a hashtag for these podcasts. Can we do a hashtag Nayonce?
Hashtag Nayonce.
Hashtag Nayonce. Ping.
All
right.
How we spell that though? That's the question.
I think it's like Beyonce with a change it to the change it to a B. I think that's probably good. All right. Carl is on social media, and you can go to Godfather Carl 76. Is that the same on Instagram too?
Instagram and Twitter.
On Insta? What's 76?
That's the year I was born.
Year you were born.
I was born, yeah, 76.
Yeah. You're younger than Mark Long. Johnny Bananas is 36. So you're right in there, Carl.
Long hasn't played in a while.
Hasn't played in a while. I always throw his name out there, but it looks like he hasn't played since like 2010.
Yeah, no, he hadn't played. And he hadn't played very many times. Bananas has played maybe, 10 seasons, I want to say.
Yeah. No, he's... Yeah. What is he? These are only three-time returning players on this season, so they got a long ways to go to get to Johnny Bananas status.
If they get more opportunities before some of us others, then something ain't right. I mean, come on. We all want another shot.
Yeah. Not everybody does, but a lot of people do.
Would you play again, Rob? If you got invited.
There's like two different parts to answering that question. It's like, would I just like go and go do it? I like that part sounds fun, but then it's like, you know, all of the complications in terms of what I do, where, you know, these people, you know, you go film a season a year in advance. And I think it would be a very complicated answer in terms of like how that would affect my life. I think I have like kind of a unique situation over here with like podcasting about every single week of the show.
Yeah, but if you could turn over the podcast to the queen.
Yes. Wife is going to do it?
If you could turn it over to her.
Yeah. No, we have,
Steven,
yeah, we
or have, Steven.
Yeah.
Then would you go back?
I would think about it, Carl. I would think about it, but you know, I do think that it would have to be like the perfect set of circumstances, and it's right. not something I'm like dying to do.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
I love getting to do what you know. Every week is fun for me getting to talk about the show, so I'm not like dying for it. But you know that I do. It would be fun, but a very complicated thing for me to go do.
Right. No, absolutely. I totally understand. And I asked that because, you know, you got a successful podcast going. And I've asked my buddy, I'm going to give him a shout out, and I hope you let that go through. But my buddy, Johnny Fairplay.
Yes.
You know
what
I mean? I asked him the same thing, you know, and we know Fairplay is ready.
Like, he's ready to go.
They can butt dial Fairplay right about now. And he's like, I'm gone. You know? Yeah, no, I love Fairplay.
All right, Carl, good talking to you. All the best. Take care, buddy.
Appreciate it, Rob. Bing!
Okay, I'm going to stop recording. All right, everybody, there you have it. Cebu on the podcast had a lot of fun. Got to check out that Game of Clones for a recap. Put it on the wheel. So fun stuff talking with Carl. We are going to have a big, I didn't even realize this, the St. Patrick's Day weekend. We're going to get it kicked off. Brett LaBelle. Luckily, we're talking to him on Saturday, not Sunday. So get your feedback questions in. Looking forward to that one. And then Mary Kwiatkowski on This Week in Survival. And then The Wiggle Room with Jessica Leese sitting in for Josh Wiggler coming up on Monday. So fun stuff on the way. Of course, don't forget the B&B. I believe Taryn is going to be on the B&B this week. And then, of course, why Rick Devins lost with David and Jessica coming up as well over the weekend in our Rehap Ups feed or our Survivor Podcast feed. RobIsWebsite.com/Survivor Podcast for the Survivor only feed. Thanks so much to the patrons of Rob Has a Podcast. We could not do all of this podcasting without the support of our amazing patron community. 5 years going strong with the patrons of Rob Has a Podcast. To find out more about the benefits of becoming a patron and get access to our secret patron only podcast feed, you can go ahead and check out robhasawebsite.com/patron for that. Recorded the patron 5 for 5 last night with the First Lady Podcast. We have the patron Facebook Friday coming up on it's tomorrow for me, but probably Friday for you, depending on when you listen to this one. robhasawebsite.com/patron. Thanks so much to Scott St. Pierre for putting this all together. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye. Special thanks to our friends over at True Car for sponsoring this episode of Rob Has a Podcast. Every car comes with its share of stories. That ding in your bumper when you nervously picked up your first date, that luxury package you got after a big promotion, or the mileage you save by riding your bike all summer long. While you can't put a price tag on your stories now with True Car, you can at least find out what your car is worth when it's time to sell it or trade it in. Just go to True Car, simply enter your license plate number and watch how your car's details pop up. Then answer a few questions. Navigation and moonroof watches, they're going to bump up your car's value. High mileage, you already knew it was going to cost you, but now you know how much it's going to ding your wallet so you can plan ahead. And once you're finished, you'll get a true cash offer sent in minutes, which you could take to a local certified dealer so you could cash out or trade in. So when you're ready to experience a better way to sell or trade in your car, check out True Car today. True cash offer not available in all areas.